As Kevin Orr prepares to take over the running of the city, there is a story that should be told about one of the reasons Detroit is drowning in a sea of red ink. We heard about it last year when the now-fired head of the city's law department, Crystal Crittenden, filed that unsuccessful lawsuit to avoid the consent agreement between the city and Lansing based on money she said the state owes to the city. Well, there is a basis for that complaint, and it's something that has soured relations between city leaders and the state as the years have gone on. Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter David Ashenfelter writes in the latest edition of The Bridge magazine, telling the story of the handshake deal with the state that haunts Detroit to this day. David Ashenfelter joins us now from Lathrop Village. Welcome to Stateside, David.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So tell us how this all started with a handshake 15 years ago.
Well, what happened was Detroit was knew that it was going to be losing revenue-sharing money, and revenue-sharing is the money that the state collects through sales tax and gives back to the local communities. And there's a couple of ways they do it, but the kind that we're dealing with is called statutory revenue-sharing, which is set by the legislature. Detroit was losing population. It knew it was going to be losing revenue-sharing funds. It also knew that there was a push by outstate Republicans to rewrite the revenue-sharing formula in a way that would benefit outstate communities, everybody but Detroit. So Dennis Archer, then the mayor, made this deal with John Engler, then the governor. And under the deal, Detroit was supposed to get $333.9 million for 9 years.
Okay.
And in exchange, Engler required the city to reduce its municipal income tax rates, which are still the highest in the state, but they were required to gradually ratchet those down over that nine-year period. And as things turned out, the economy tanked. The state broke the deal, but they didn't relieve Detroit of the legislative requirement that they reduce their income tax rate. And so the city says on the revenue sharing front, they lost $200 million, and because they couldn't impose the municipal income tax rates that they had imposed previously, they lost somewhere between $400 or $500 million on that side.
So we're looking at about $700 million. The city figures that it could have had in the coffers, and now you're noting there are a lot of voices around Michigan and Lansing that are saying essentially, "Well, cry me a river," because every city and village and township in Michigan's had their revenue sharing cut. Is that also a fair enough argument?
That is. So it's the second side of the argument. When the economy tanked, the state was unable to live up to the terms of the deal it made. But all the other communities in the state that were getting revenue sharing lost revenue, too, and have had to make very severe cuts. One of the fellows that I talked to, East Point city manager, said that all the communities in the state that took these revenue sharing cuts had to learn how to operate more efficiently. And his complaint, Steve Duchesne, is that everybody learned how to operate more efficiently except Detroit.
So
we're stuck with this problem, and the question becomes, would this have solved Detroit's current financial problem?
And what's your thought?
The answer is no, but it certainly contributed to the problem.
And there was another, not in a monetary sense, but you point to the toll in soured relations between Detroit City Hall and Lansing, and that's really kind of what's been coloring things up to this very moment, isn't it?
Right. You know, as I was working on this story, I kept thinking back of the treaties that the United States government made with the Indian nations.
Yes.
And we kept breaking the deal.
We did. That's so true. That is so true. And there is so much water under the bridge, though, since that handshake back in 1998 with Dennis Archer and John Engler. There's nobody expecting Lansing to say, oh, sorry, here's your $220 million.
Right. But the state says that it's helped Detroit out in other ways. I'm not entirely sure how to assess that, but the state will say, well, when Detroit's population dipped under a million, we rewrote the law, we amended the law so they can continue getting the money, and they listed a few other things that they said, that enhancements that they've put into state law that they've given to Detroit to compensate. One of the fellows that I interviewed, and this problem happened, by the way, not under just the Engler administration, it really got worse under Granholm, Jennifer Granholm, because she faced a succession of budget crises, and she had to cut a lot of money. But at any rate, Bob Emerson, a former senator and Granholm's state budget director during her second term, said, Detroit has a legitimate beef, but so does every city, village, and township that had their revenue sharing cut. He said it wasn't like people were going out of their way to pick on Detroit. During the entire time the cuts were being made, Detroit enjoyed most favored nation status. We tried to make the cuts in a way that had the least effect on Detroit. And he went on to say, revenue sharing is just what it means, a sharing of revenue. And when we have less revenue, there's less sharing.
So, David Ashenfelter, do you think is the moral of your story in the bridge that for those who maybe at Detroit City Hall are still kind of flying that banner of the state owes us money, is the moral just let it go and move on?
Well, I think that's where we're at, yeah. The mayor referred to this this broken promise in his last State of the State message, or last State of the City message last month. But he, like Gary Brown, this city councilman pro tem, have just said, let's move on. We're not going to get this money. We're not happy about it, but let's move on.
But I bet it's fair to say that the consent agreement was hurt, if you will, or damaged by that sense, and we certainly saw the lawsuits that Crystal Crittenden was mounting based on the state owes us this money. So
right.
You kind of wonder if history would have played out differently had that not been really kind of trying to fight back against the consent agreement.
Well, that's true. You know, I it's hard to know. Mm. There was a fellow who I was going to quote in the story, not by name, but he said, you know, we could go ahead and give Detroit the $200 million, but they'd just be back here in 6 months asking for more. I'm not sure, based on the research I did for this, I don't know how Detroit gets out of this problem that it's got.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult to dig itself out of this hole. But as Ken Cole has said, the city lobbyist, you pushed us in the hole, and now you expect us to get out without giving us a ladder.
Good piece. It's in the latest edition of Bridge Magazine. David Ashenfelter, thanks so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.
Reporter David Ashenfelter writes about the handshake that's haunted Detroit in the latest edition of the Bridge Magazine.